welcome to Will It Game, the podcast about pitching crappy board games from one board family. I'm your host, Ryan Gutowski, joined as always with...
Hey guys, this is Rick White here to do the podcast with you. We're here in the morning going to get you on your ride home and get you there where you need to go.
I'm trying my morning DJ voice this time.
Oh, geez, yeah, that's not going to go over well.
10 o'clock at night, we're recording this. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, that's definitely going to put people in a mood. That voice, that third voice that you hear is Justin Jacobson, the founder of Restoration Games. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry I jumped the intro there, but, you know, I had to say something.
Had to have been said.
Something has to be said. We cannot let that stand. So you're absolutely right. So, Justin, tell us a little about yourself. We have been huge fans of Restoration Games from the minute you guys were first announced. I think it was at Gen Con 3-4 years ago, somewhere around that time. I don't know. I lose track of time.
2017. We actually started the company in 2016.
Okay, cool. So tell us a little about what you do.
Yeah, so I started the company with Rob Davio, and it was just founded on this idea of taking old games that have been out of print, old mass market games that we remember from when we were kids, and modernizing them and bringing them back so a new generation of gamers can experience what we loved and that we can also get another bite at the apple and with a sort of a modern update to these games.
Yeah, that is super cool. Your very first board game that you modernized was Stop Thief, which was actually one of my favorites growing up. I had written an entire thing about Stop Thief and my love for Stop Thief 2 weeks prior to you guys announcing that you were going to be a company. So I love what you guys are doing, and I love that you guys brought back Fireball Island last year. I just thought about it the other day. We were rewatching an episode of the Goldbergs, and I thought about how great it was that Fireball Island was a centerpiece on an episode of the Goldbergs just this last season, right?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. We were in the middle of the Kickstarter for Fireball Island and found out I knew Adam Goldberg. He's the showrunner and creator, and I knew he was a fan of Fireball Island. Obviously, it's been on the show a number of times. He's a child of the 80s. And but I found out that he actually was a backer in the campaign. And I think one of the other backers sort of reached out to him on social media and basically said that to try and get on the show. And sort of one thing led to another, and we were able to get him a copy early. And I was sort of just expecting it to be in the background, like on a bookshelf or something. And then we watched the episode, and it was really like, you know, kind of a key part of the show. It was like pretty amazing moment. That was definitely a highlight for sure.
Oh man, we were smiling that whole episode. The kids were like, "That's that game you talk about, Daddy." So yeah, that's really cool. Awesome. Well, Justin, this is how it works. We are going to pitch two board games. Rick is going to pitch one. I'm going to pitch one. And these board games are going to be craptastic. And your job as our guest judge is that you have to pick through it and see which one is the least crappy of the two board game pitches. Do you think you are up for the challenge, sir?
I think I am definitely up for the challenge. Keeping in mind, I sort of sift through games from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So there's plenty of craptastic games that just need a little love. So, you know, you never know. Even a craptastic game can turn out to be a great game.
Ah, you may be able to make things work.
I think what I just heard is you're looking to publish one of these, is what I just heard.
I'm not looking to do it.
Basically, he's signing a contract by being on the show. So we know what you're talking
about. Did I mention that I was a lawyer for 20 years before I started the company?
We're going to ignore that.
This sounds like something. Yeah, forget that information.
Forget that. So, Rick, why don't I go first? I haven't gone first in a minute.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So, yeah. So, Justin, you picked the theme of comic books, not superheroes, but comic books. So I wanted to make that distinction before we do these pitches. My pitch is called Pulp Fiction Pioneer. Starting a company is challenging, as you know, being an entrepreneur yourself. And Pulp Fiction Pioneer is going to simulate the challenges of starting a new comic book company from scratch. The game's for 2 to 4 players, and it plays about 60 to 90 minutes. Players are hiring artists, writers, and gaining readers as you take your comic book company through its first 5 years of development. Now, similar to the game The Networks from Formal Ferret Games, decks of cards are going to be divided up by years. So the first year, you'll have to hire mediocre writers and artists straight out of college or people that you found on the street. It's going to be kind of the bottom of the barrel. But as you go through, people, you're going to have notoriety and you're going to be hiring better people as the years go on out of the different decks. The majority of the game is going to be worker placement as you gain resources to hire people from around the city. So if you imagine it, it's the city board, and the cards are going to be in specific places around the city. These are going to be artists and writers and people who do illustrations. Players are going to start the game with 4 meeples. This is basically your street team. You're going to be hiring artists from the local art school, or maybe you can even hire a local street tagger if you want kind of an urban flair to your artwork. Will your next writer come from the local theater or from a community college? Maybe you'll even find an unpublished novelist in your city. Players have to make decisions that will create combos that will gain them new readers. In the last 2 years of the game, players will draw cards that shake up the companies, both sides. Maybe a specific employee type will go on strike. Or maybe digital comics gain popularity and players are penalized if their employees don't have a certain technology attribute. So there's all kinds of things that can happen in those last 2 years of your company to kind of mess with your formula. Now, you track your points, number of thousands of readers around the board with this tracker. Each company will have its own token, and it goes around the edge of the board. Players with the largest audience after 5 years become the most successful pulp fiction pioneer. Now, one of the things, if you think about the cards, I wanted to point out, these artists and writers and things like that, they're going to have their alter egos on their card. So you may see this kid who's a street tagger that is doing graffiti around the community, and he's going to have a certain persona as actually illustrated on the card next to his picture. So these cards are going to be really cool looking, very stylized. Maybe somebody is a really good manga artist. They're going to have that art illustration on the card to distinguish what type of art they do. So I think it's going to be a really cool game. Pulp Fiction Pioneer.
Sounds interesting.
So what game are you ripping off for this one?
Well, other than the categories, other than going through 5 years like The Networks does, I'm not ripping off anything, Rick.
Well, that feels like a lie, so I'll have to dig a little bit deeper and figure out what
you're going to start researching. I have not ripped off Boss Monster for the third time.
I do like the idea that you are hiring street taggers for your comic book. I like to think that you bring them in, you're like, okay, what do you want to do? And then they just start spray painting paper. And they're like, I think I finished. There we go.
Yeah, like really big galleys.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to have a heck of a foldable insert on these comic books.
Yeah, each frame is a sheet of A14, you know? So, all right, Rick, what you got, man?
Well, let's see how this goes. So, my game is going to be called Comic Book Writer. Let's keep it pretty straightforward. Okay, and this is going to be a party game, very similar to some that you see out there on the market, but kind of have a little bit of a nerdy twist to it. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say before I start that there's like 20% of me that feels like this is already a game that exists. And if it does, I apologize to whoever I'm ripping off.
Type out all the ones that you're ripping off.
Yeah, there we go. So in this game, basically, it's got an apples to apples feel, except you're going to have, or I guess more of a say anything feel. Everybody's got a dry erase board and a marker, and there's a big stack of cards. And all these cards are going to be comic book panels that feature a variety of characters. They'll be kind of your standard comic book characters. Like, you'll see some ripoffs of superhero comics, but you'll also get some manga in there. You'll get some Archie and Jughead kind of things going on there. You'll get some like comic strip family circus stuff, and there will be empty speech bubbles, and they'll be having some sort of activity going on, and it'll be your job to come up with interesting things for the characters to say. So what will happen first is you are going to have one person serving as the comic book writer. Okay, and then everybody else is going to be split up into two groups because each panel will feature two people. And maybe three, and if there's three people, you split up into three groups. But each group is assigned to one of the characters in the panel. And the people in that group have to write out what the person is saying. And then they put it face down in front of them. It is the comic book writer's job not just to pick their favorite thing that is written out, that people have written down, but the pair of writings that make the most sense together. So you can't say like, haha, that one was funny, but they make no sense together. You're going for something that is cohesive together. The two people that wrote those get a point, and you will play to where each person gets to serve as the comic book writer twice, and then whoever has tallied up the most points wins, and that is comic book writer. Yeah, I'm scared to death this already exists, so, you know.
I don't think so. I mean, there's obviously lots of games in that sort of genre, right?
Right.
But I'm not aware of anyone. And I have to say, interesting mechanic of where you're picking pairs.
Yeah, I figured that gives it a little twist on the standard approach to those kind of games.
And it eliminates one of the problems with those ones where you're just sort of, you know, there's a lot of metagaming going around when you're picking, like, your favorite, right?
Yeah.
So people couldn't see, but I did scare quotes there.
Oh, okay.
We saw it. So, we know.
We like to do a lot of visual things on this audio podcast, so, you know, join us in that.
Yeah, I did a bunch of illustrations of what the card art for Pulp Fiction Pioneer would look like. It took me about 7 hours, and I was holding them up. I didn't know if you guys could tell.
It's pretty magnificent.
Yeah,
actually,
it's pretty nice.
Ryan, I hate to tell you, but your webcam wasn't even on, so.
Oh, no, this is not going well.
Oh, and destroyed it.
So, Justin, you have heard two pitches for two suspect games. What do you have to say? Anything good here? Anything worth salvaging?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I was promised craptastic, and I got, like, not bad, actually.
I got mediocre.
So I'm a little,
you know what? That was written on every report card I ever received. Not bad, actually.
That's good.
So I have to say, I really like that mechanic of the pairing in comic book writer. Should I be announcing my verdict?
Yeah, you can preface it. You can tell us what you liked about each one and then disappoint one.
I didn't know if there was going to be like a little fanfare or like an orchestral, you know, intro or anything like that. I'll just run with it. It's
usually
fine. It's fine.
Usually it ends with one of us screaming and ripping our clothes. So
so I have to say, like, and that is a game I think actually could be made. Like, you know, you might want to actually contact someone about that record. Interesting idea. But I unfortunately, Rick, I have to tell you something. This is, if you go right now to my Board Game Geek profile, Justin D. Jacobson.
And I will, because I've never been held back by a podcast before.
And you also don't have friends, so this will be good.
Yeah, that works.
And if you go to that profile and you look at my top 10, you will see that The Networks is one of my top 10 all-time favorite games.
Oh, snap.
See, Ryan always, this is Ryan's two keys to victory. He either rips off another game or he stalks the judge before he comes on the podcast. And again,
I did not
it
do
pays
that.
Off for him.
Oh, wow.
So this is a little awkward, but I'm going to have to go with Pulp Fiction Pioneer. Because honestly, if you just said Networks but making comic books, like, that's actually like Networks plus for me. Because that's
really
amazing.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
That sounds really cool.
Well, I was thinking, so the initial thought behind this game is, I don't know if you've played any of those, like, what was it, video game stories or the little 8-bit games that, you know, you can throw on your phone or throw on your computer through Steam. You know, I was thinking about those startup games where you've got those little 8-bit characters and you're trying to manage projects. And I was like, how can I make that a game about starting up a comic book company and immediately thought about the networks. And I love the networks. So, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, very cool, certainly.
Oh, Rick, it's okay, buddy. You'll win one.
So if I had ripped off Robinson Crusoe Adventures on the Cursed Island, maybe we could have gotten somewhere. Yes, I am on the BGG page right now.
Yeah. How would you have done that with comic books?
You know,
that's my number one.
You know, sometimes you're stranded on an island and all there are comic books, and you have to figure out how you bind them together to create a house.
You have a lot of time to like curate your comic book collection.
Exactly.
That's right. That's cool. Well, Justin,
until you die of exposure.
Justin, tell us where people can find Restoration Games and all the fantastic work that you're doing. And actually, you guys have being released at Gen Con Unmatched, which is an awesome game that is actually one of Rob Davio's old games that is coming back to life with a whole new set of characters. And then you guys are doing the Dark Tower remake. What else?
Yeah, it's so first of all, yeah, I'm pretty active on Twitter. And you can find us at Restoration Game. Leave off the extra S because Twitter won't let me put it in there.
Boo, Twitter.
Too long. Yeah. I'm super not active on Facebook, but we do have a Facebook page. I just can't recommend you use it for anything. and then you can, we have our website is restorationgames.com. But really, Twitter is where it's at for us. But I do love talking to the fans and hearing from people. And in particular, if you go to our website, right at the top of that website, there is a little input field that says, what game would you like us to bring back and why? And every time somebody fills that out, I get an email and I just hear some amazing stories and little snippets of, you know, seeing the games that people remember from their childhood and why they were special to them and what they liked about them. And it's really one of the better parts of my job.
Yeah, and only 23% of them were written by Ryan.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we've already made like everyone he suggested, I think.
Well, so. Fireball Island was one of the ones that I had said on a podcast. And then I wrote that article about Stop Thief. And then, So my next one is Heroes. I'll go on record, HeroQuest, which I'm sure that you probably get a ton of mail about HeroQuest. So
HeroQuest is our, so the top three by a country mile were Fireball Island, Dark Tower, and HeroQuest.
Okay.
And HeroQuest is like my great white whale for people who don't know. There's a very long and convoluted intellectual property background to that game.
Oh, man.
Who knows if it'll ever
happen.
Listen,
you're a lawyer. I think you can take care of all that. Just go ahead and make the game, and we'll, you know, ask for forgiveness instead of permission. That's the way it works, right?
That is one way to go about it, but just not the way we go.
Oh, okay.
About it, that's all.
Because he is a lawyer.
Well, you know, I never say I like the challenge. So when people, I mean, people said there was no chance of getting Fireball Island. And, so I like the challenge of it. But yeah, so we're really excited about Unmatched. And in fact, that was sort of what gave me this idea for the comic book theme. Because not that we're using comic book heroes, but we certainly could down the road.
Yeah.
And we've announced we are doing a Buffy the Vampire Slayer set. So we're co-publishing the Unmatched series with Mondo Games. And super exciting to work with them because they have such a strong aesthetic. And one of the things we wanted to do to work with them is their licensing prowess and the access to their sort of stable of artists. They just have to do some amazing artistic work, and to be able to pair that with a game is pretty exciting. The artwork for Unmatched is, we're really proud of it.
Yeah. All the coverage that I've seen, it looks so good.
Would you say that the artwork is indeed unmatched? That's how good it is.
Yes, it is peerless.
Yes,
so Unmatched is like a triple entendre. I'm very happy about the name. so yeah. Because all the decks are asymmetrical and you can mix and match fighters from, you know, we have Battle of Legends, which has Sinbad, Medusa, King Arthur, and Alice from Alice in Wonderland. And then we've got a Robin Hood versus Bigfoot set. We got a Bruce Lee pack coming out. So now you can, you know, have Bruce Lee fight Bigfoot if you want.
That's so cool.
That's the magic of the game. And it's super quick and simple and fun system. I think people are really going to dig. But just having those heroes was sort of what led me down the comic book path there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we are working on Return to Dark Tower. It's not, it's a sort of a spiritual successor. It's its own game. And for those who don't know, Isaac Childress is co-designing with Rob, and Noah and myself are helping out with that. But it's a huge undertaking. So we are approaching that game from the perspective of we're treating it almost like a video game or a movie. Mm-hmm. Our budget, our development budget for that is north of $100,000.
Wow.
We've got concept artists. We've got engineer. We have mechanical engineers, electrical engineers. We have a project manager. Tim Seward from Burl Seward, who was previously with Beasts of Balance, if you know that
game. Yeah, yeah. Great game.
He's sort of heading up the production side of the actual physical tower.
Wow.
And from the get-go, it's basically been nothing's off the table. Let's just build something that's never been seen or done before in board games. Because when I say it's a spiritual successor to Dark Tower, nobody liked the game, the Dark Tower. It was the tower that was so freaking cool. And so really we just said we want to make a game that has a tower that will blow people away and just do things that they haven't seen before. And I'm very excited to start revealing what we've got going. We've got some amazing artists working on this. And obviously the game design is going to be rock solid with Isaac and Rob and Noah Cohen and working on it. I name a couple of cards pretty much. That's my contribution.
Nice.
It's actually a lot of fun watching them two work together too. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's really cool.
We're super excited about that. We will be at Gen Con. We will be announcing. We're doing a Kickstarter for Return to Dark Tower, and we'll be announcing the date at Gen Con.
Sweet.
So, are Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey in the game?
I wish they were.
Okay. I mean, you said the budget sounds pretty big. I mean, so I didn't know if they were able to make it in.
Maybe for the commercial.
Oh, there we go.
There
the
we
Kickstarter
go.
Launch, the campaign video is going to have the two of them in it. That's how.
It's a 2-second commercial. First. That's what we can afford.
You heard it here first on the Will It Game podcast.
There we go.
What's that app where you get lower tier actors to do, they'll record, there's some app where they'll record like 10-second like happy graduation videos.
Right.
I don't know, but when you find it, please tell me what that app is.
I wish I could remember the name. It's very cool, but do you know what it
is? No, I was just going to say, don't let Ryan convince you because, listen, I tried to get the voice of Mario on our podcast,
goodness,
and Ryan told me I couldn't spend the money to do it. So don't listen to him. He doesn't really want it.
I was not going to let you spend $50 for some guy to be like, hey, it's me, Mario.
I think it would have been totally worth it. Or we'll just cut what you just did and we'll put it at the beginning of the podcast.
We'll just say that.
Okay, I believe it's called Cameo.
Cameo.
Yeah.
Yes. I love how this episode is wrapping up. We are off the rails, and I love it.
Yes. Yes, this is...
And so what we'll do is, we probably can't get Idris Elba or Matthew McConaughey, but we could maybe get,
the kid from the movie.
Maybe like a Steve Guttenberg or someone.
Steve Guttenberg's next in line. That's good.
I mean, for an 80s game...
The first person that popped up on mine is Ice-T, and I think that's the way you should actually go.
There we go.
Well, he's a huge, if you ever heard that thing where he's reading, he does the audio book for a D&D book.
Really?
It's the funniest thing. Yes. You have to Google
it. Okay.
We are going off the rails, but it's all right.
I was talking at work since we're not actually doing the show anymore. We were talking at work, I said, you know what's wrong with you, you younger people? I was talking to somebody who's just under 30 years old. I said, you know what's wrong with you people is when I say Ice-T, you look at me and say, oh, the guy from NCIS? I just want to slap you across the face.
He's on SVU. I need you to get it right.
Oh, is
and
that
then,
it? I'm sorry.
Get your letters correct. And yes, that's what I think too.
Anyway.
Yeah, if you Google Ice-T reads Dungeons and Dragons, it's hilarious.
That's good. Well, we'll be checking that out. So let's wrap up the podcast. Justin, thank you so much for coming on the show. Remember, everybody, check out Restoration Games. And also, completely, it's been like probably 5 minutes since I said the word downforce. you guys made Downforce. That's a freaking amazing game. We talk about it all the time. We ran through an entire pad of sheets because we played it too much in 6 months. You end up sending me more sheets because we were desperate. So thank you. Downforce. Buy it if you don't have it. Anyway, head over to facebook.com/oneboardfamily and you can vote on your favorite game pitch. Is it, what was your game's name, Rick?
Comic book writer.
Comic book writer or pulp fiction pioneer. Vote for your favorite over at facebook.com/oneboardfamily. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Punchboard Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.